The West Live. The West Live. With Tim Clark for Ben O'Shea.
The link between hearing loss and dementia is a massive issue among our ageing population, but it's particularly bad for Indigenous Australians. Joining me now is founding director of Ear Science Institute Australia, Professor Marcus Atlas. Good morning, Professor.
Oh, good morning, Tim.
Your team is undertaking world-leading research in this area. What have you been looking at?
Well, you know, I suppose we should begin with the background. And as you said, hearing loss is a massive problem in our community. It's the second highest cause of disability in the world, with, you know, 1.3 billion people with hearing loss, mainly of age-related hearing loss. And then in the background, there's the problems of dementia as the community gets into the baby boomers move into the older age group, and the incidence of dementia is increasing rapidly. And there has been Donna Giacotti, who I guess we're going to be talking about, has begun some work at least 10 years ago on the relationship between hearing loss, cognition, dementia, social isolation, and anxiety, and started to determine that there was an association between these things. And then a few years ago, The Lancet, which is one of the most prominent medical journals in the world, produced a document that was based on all of the published work in the world, and it looked at the various things that occurred in a patient's life that could predispose them to developing dementia later in life. And there are many factors, but the biggest factor, the 9% of the total, was related to hearing loss in midlife. Mm. And so we started to realise just how important the work that we had begun at Ear Science in terms of this relationship between hearing loss and dementia. And then the next level, of course, is Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And their high prevalence of hearing loss, some of it due to chronic middle ear infections of childhood, which we know is very common in Indigenous Australians. And they go on to develop adulthood hearing loss. Some of it related to chronic ear disease and some of it related to nerve-related hearing loss. And that puts them at greater risk of hearing loss later in life. And we know that that group is also 3 to 5 times more likely to develop dementia. So is there a relationship between their prevalence of hearing loss and their greater rates of dementia? So that's what we're looking at. That's what Donna's looking at. And not only that, she's also looking at whether if we intervene and provide hearing aids or hearing rehabilitation, will it help that group of patients, particularly in the area of cognition? So it's really exciting work.
Mm. When you say midlife hearing loss, what sort of age are you looking at there?
Sort of 40 to 60.
Yeah.
That sort of age group. So, you know, intervening in that group, and they're sometimes a bit difficult to get around in terms of prescribing hearing aids, particularly, it's potentially of significant value later in their life.
Yeah. And the knock-on effect, I mean, the layman who wouldn't have possibly heard about this research, the knock-on effect from losing your hearing to dementia, it seems a big jump to take in terms of research, but actually when you think about it, if you lose one of your major senses, it's perhaps understandable then that should have a knock-on effect later in life.
Yeah, that's right. So I agree with you. That's what I thought, you know, to put this big association between hearing loss and cognition and dementia seems a big leap, but it's not, you know. Mm. And when you see it, when you see patients all day long with hearing loss and the problems of social isolation and the concerns of anxiety and problems associated with hearing loss, and then that's well known to be associated with later onset in dementia, all of these things start to link together, and it becomes much more plausible. But in statistics, and when you develop studies, and that's what Donna's done, you're able to, by sort of very sophisticated statistical analysis, to be able to separate out some of those things. So what you're thinking is, well, there's so many variables here. How do you know that hearing loss and dementia are actually associated with each other when there's all these other things going on at the same time? Well, it's possible to be able to separate those things out with big numbers and big studies, and that's that's the really smart thing about some of the work that Donna's doing.
And so the question that leads on from that is, if you were to intervene earlier in midlife, say early 40s or early 50s, to try and prevent hearing loss, is that going to delay the onset of dementia?
And that's the ultimate question. Mm. And so if we intervene, and that's what our community really wants to know, because it's going to cost us, and there's an economic value to this, as a community and quality of life value, if we do all of this, is it going to make a difference? And the answer is, well, we've analysed some groups. So we began with the patients who had a lot of hearing loss. So they're the patients who have cochlear implants in our community, patients with severe to profound hearing loss. And we looked at that group, and we were able to look at a group that we didn't intervene in versus a group in which we did intervene. We looked over a period of a year, and already we could see the difference between the patients in which we intervened and gave them hearing with a cochlear implant versus the patients who were waiting for a cochlear implant for a year. There was already a change in just a year in terms of cognitive function. So we started to unravel it, particularly in the high-level hearing loss group. But your question particularly pertains to people with mild hearing loss, age-related hearing loss in their middle-aged life. And if we were to intervene in them with a hearing aid, would that make a difference? We'll tell you. We'll tell you. Will you interview us in a year or so? It's not going to take that long, because this study is a crossover trial. It's a smart study that Donna's put together, and we'll have results in the next few years, and then we'll know whether what we're doing is going to make a difference. My gut feeling is it will.
Mm. And that would have not only a huge impact on individual patients, but we know that dementia and Alzheimer's is a huge drain on resources, including the national economy, and also emotional resources of people who are employed as carers and that type of thing. I mean, if this research was to show that, that would just be a huge leap in our national story and treatment of this.
Oh, I agree. And that one of the things that I really encourage Donna, and she's got a wonderful team around her. I should mention there's a wonderful group of people, and her scholarship from the Royal Perth Hospital Foundation has been absolutely instrumental in this, and her work with Leon Flicker and his ageing group and Indigenous health groups as well has been a fabulous team. What they've introduced into that study is an economic value study, and it's so important these days to be able to show value, not just in terms of community value, but in economic value, which is what you're talking about. And so there are ways to analyse the effect of an intervention economically, and so that's included in the study. So not only will we be able to analyse its effect on quality of life, but also on economic value. So and that is important because it's expensive. These are expensive interventions, and will they make a difference to the overall economic situation due to dementia? I mean, it's an incredibly expensive problem for our community, the onset of dementia, as you infer. And so we believe it will, but we'll have to prove it.
Now, as you say, the Indigenous community, this impacts them particularly, and not only physically, but you would imagine the broader impacts on Indigenous culture, and particularly their storytelling, would be hugely impacted by not being able to hear those stories.
Yeah, it's an oral culture, and the storytelling and the ability to be able to pass knowledge across generations with storytelling particularly is so much affected by hearing loss. And so we're well aware of that. And then perhaps also this also interacts with dementia and cognition and the ability to understand. And so we're very aware of this component of our study and that part of Indigenous culture that is so requiring of hearing.
Yeah.
So that's been included in this, and in the way many of these studies now involve a significant amount of community engagement. And so the way we interact with the Indigenous community and the way we try to understand the need for hearing loss in their community is a really important part of this study, and Donna's included that.
And so as a follow-on from that, would you say that Aboriginal Australians, Indigenous Australians need to be prioritised in this area?
Well, they have been. We've included it. There's both Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians included in it, and looked at separately because of the different requirements. But so I think there's sort of equal equal understanding and making sure that the particularly what you've talked about is the fact that there are particular requirements in the Indigenous community with regard to hearing, and there's also particular concerns because they have a greater level of hearing loss, particularly in childhood. Mm. And so Australia and Mike, during the entire career in Australia, we have been thinking about Indigenous ear disease in children. And really, to be honest, there has not been great strides made forward in terms of Indigenous ear disease in children. And this leads to, and what hasn't been really thought about much, is what happens in later adult life when Indigenous kids get ear disease in childhood, and what impact does this have? And so we're looking at that impact in terms of dementia and cognition.
Fascinating research. Fascinating to talk to you this morning. So, founding director of Ear Science Institute Australia, Professor Marcus Atlas, thanks so much for your time.
Tim, thanks so much for having me.